Hello, everybody. My name is Zach Rollison. I'm a licensed professional counselor with Foundations Christian Counseling. Anybody who was here last year for the event? Awesome. Awesome. So you guys got to be part of it last year. I got to talk on one of my favorite topics last year, identity. And so if you remember that, great. I think I remember all of it. But it was a fun time. Great conversation. Had some good feedback from you guys. And I'm hoping to get some of the same, some good feedback today. So anybody who's feeling like, you know, you just have too much energy and want to shout it out, please, you know, feel free to comment on anything. And if you don't, I think there's coffee somewhere out there that you guys can juice yourselves up and get ready for a good little chat here. Before we get diving in here, just as a heads up, if you see on your bulletin, there is, or whatever, bulletin, I'm used to church talks, whatever that thing is that you have the pamphlet, we are going to have a time in the afternoon for a few couples if you're interested in doing a counseling consultation, which is not counseling, but is consulting about counseling and marriage counseling or marriage stuff, how it could help you guys and maybe give you guys a bit of a taste of it and maybe some resources depending on what you're dealing with. Up in the fourth floor foyer is the sign-up sheet for that. I think there were still one or two spots left. It's going to be on the hour, 1, 2, 3, and 4 for about 50 minutes. Hold on. I have the key to the room here, and I can tell you which room it's supposed to be in. The chestnut room, which is on the third floor. So if you're interested in signing up for that, that's where it'll be. Or you can come and talk to me afterward at the end, and I'll try to remember where it is and point you in that direction. But awesome. Are you guys having a good time so far? Have we learned some stuff? All right. What's one thing we've learned? Shout it out. What was that? Chick-fil-A, yeah, Chick-fil-A. Awesome. Yeah, actually, so speaking of the Chick-fil-A one, that code word thing, my wife and I have one of those, and we tried to pick a funny word because it does kind of break up some of the tension. So our word is pumpernickel. You're welcome to use that if that's easier for you guys. That just means let's push pause and take a break here and come back to this later. But I love that. Love these guys. They have some great material so far. I'm very excited for where it's going. We're going to take a little bit of a break from that to have a fun conversation about form and function, appreciating God's design in our differences. So we can roll to our next just intro slide here. So do you guys kind of have an idea what I mean when I say form and function, or form versus function? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm seeing some no's, I'm seeing some yeses. How about this? If you can think of something for each of these words, what might it be? Give me some hands or shout out some answers. What would be an example, let's say, of form, if we're talking about this, if you know what I mean? The style, the shape, the design, yeah. Essentially, how something looks or feels, the presentation of something, right? How about function? What are some words that might explain that a little bit? How it works, its purpose. Very, very good. Yeah, does it do what it's supposed to do? And often you might hear this as like a versus, form versus function, meaning like we kind of create this distinction between form and function. And we usually mean something like this. Form, as you mentioned, has like a sensory element to it. There's the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it tastes, maybe. Something about the sensory appeal of a thing. Versus function, which has to do with the purpose or the action. To determine if something's functioning, we really ask, is this doing the job it's supposed to be doing? Anybody have run into any issues with function lately in their own lives, whether it's maybe technology? Like for me, I don't know, that's a big one. Anybody else get struggle like when the tech doesn't do its job? I will admit I get irrationally frustrated when something that has been designed to work a certain way doesn't do what it's supposed to do in a timely manner. And my wife can attest to that. Or traffic, right? Like what's the purpose of the road but to get me from A to B, right? And when the road is clogged, it is not functioning the way it's supposed to. People are stopping or rubbernecking, or there's something happening, construction, and it's stopping the function of driving, and I get really frustrated with that, right? So I don't know. Anybody else have any examples of something like that, like functional, that frustrates them when they don't see it happen the way that it's supposed to?
Computer system at work.
There you go. Wait. The whole system might be down when you're trying to do something important at work and you can't get on it, for sure. Anybody have a printer? I have never, ever experienced a printer that actually functions the way it's supposed to. And if there's any printer salesman out here, I apologize. I'm not coming at you or anything. Just that's my own experience. So when I'm talking about the balance between form and function, we're going to kind of just start with a couple general ideas, and then we're going to actually get into like where that applies to our lives in Christ, where that applies to our marriages, how that comes into the conversations that are a lot bigger than we might think about. But let's get some simple examples here of form and function when one of them is elevated over the other or when they're balanced. So let's go. This would be an example of function over form. Has anybody here ever fixed something with duct tape? Yep. If you are a duct tape person who fixes things with duct tape, in those moments, you're more concerned with does it do the job than does it look nice. And that probably does the job. I don't know what the other side of the mirror looks like. Hopefully they didn't tape over the glass. But basically, this is an example of form over function. What are some examples from your life of something you've done where it's been function over form? Anything in your life you've definitely seen the function over form come out when you were trying to fix something or trying to solve a problem? Let's throw out some thoughts. Anybody? Do you ever make it work, but it's like really ugly and kind of questionable the way that it looks?
Dinner.
great example. It'll fill your belly. That's all. It may not look super nice, but. Any other good examples of function over form? All right, let's go to our next example here. This would be an example of form over function. If we assume that the function of a shoe is to walk, then this is a shoe example where form has been elevated and the function's kind of been left alone. Now, I can't speak from personal experience on this one, but I'm told that it's that way. Can anybody in here who can confirm that these are definitely more form than function? Yeah, okay. Let's go to our next example. This would be sort of the combination idea, like a beautiful home that looks nice, but it's also structurally sound. Like, it's welcoming, it's inviting, the form is there, the appeal is there, and it'll also keep the rain out, it'll keep you warm, it'll keep you dry, it'll keep you protected and safe. That makes sense? Now, one more example of when neither are present. Sorry if this is shots fired to anybody here. I really hate Crocs with my whole heart. I've got a whole sermon series on. No, just kidding. But this is it doesn't really do the job of a shoe, and it definitely doesn't really look, in my opinion, very appealing. So this would be a great example of when neither are really at focus. Go ahead to our next slide here for a second. So I want to talk about these for just a moment here. When we think about form and function, often we put them on the opposite ends of a continuum here. Now, if you were to think about your own values for a moment, and maybe thinking about yours in comparison to your partner's values for a second here, where do you think you might put yourself if this were a continuum? Like maybe 80% towards function, or maybe right in the middle, maybe a little more toward form? Who wants to share where they think they'd land on this? Mostly function over there? Gotcha. Okay, function's super important to that guy. What do we got? I got a guy nodding there that functions. All right, how many people in here would lean toward function? Okay.
This guy on, there we go.
All right, we got some people in the middle who kind of lean central on it. You can just have that, thank you. Who enjoy a little bit of both or who find the value in both sides of it. Now, I didn't want to call this out like as far as a gender thing goes, but I will say from my counseling experience, and we'll talk about why in a minute, but a lot of the times, guys can confirm that they tend to lean toward function, like the gentleman over there who are like, yes, function's what I want. And
not always, but much of the time, I've had a lot of their spouses, their wives come in and say, you know what? No, it's either right in the middle for me or leans a little bit more toward function. And we're going to kind of talk about the why that is, but I want to also point out that this is not strictly true all the time. So for a modern example, I'm going to ask Joe, and she has a second to come and flip the slide over for me here. For a modern example of where a lot of times girls these days are preferring a functional object, has anybody got one of these Stanley cups? Right? This is not really the most attractive, you know, formally device in the world, but it does a good job of keeping a giant quantity of water cold or clubbing anybody who's trying to mug you on the street or something like that. Like sometimes we choose function, especially if it's a popular thing, like right now the Stanley Cups are the thing, but we choose function even though we would like to have a little bit of both. Or there's times when we actually have to choose between different types of function or different types of form. For example, if you were around a couple decades ago, you may remember the UGG boot. You might still have some. Anybody here a fan of the UGG boots? I've got some people raising hands. They also come in like slippers and moccasins now, apparently. I've not worn them, but I'm told that they're supremely comfortable. But in this case, we have the form of the feeling, the comfort, the enjoyable sensory experience, and the warmth and coziness putting over the form in terms of the aesthetic, right? Like, it's not really the most aesthetically pleasing looking shoe, but it's super comfortable. So we choose between forms. Now, remind me, who are the guys in here who are all like, no, we're straight function people, like no form involved, got a couple hands there. All right. Guys don't always abide by that rule, though. Like, this guy over here is making this supremely fancy-looking old car shine and sparkle, when in reality, if we were just concerned with function, we really, really wouldn't care about the shininess or what the paint job was. Think about, you know, something that matters to you guys, like, I don't know, if anybody here a hunter? Anybody here like to go out in the woods? Okay, do you just, you know, buy the cheapest gun on the market, or do you, like, go and, like, look for the one that has the cool camo stock and the, you know, silver barrel and the fancy, like, no, yeah, you know, we say function's all that matters, but really a lot of times we're like, you know what though, actually I'm gonna lean toward this one. Or here's an example of where guys are usually form aware. Look to your right or left at your spouse and tell me that you didn't choose them at all for their form, just for their function, right? Tell them that, see how that goes for you tonight. I know, right? Yeah. I mean, we love beauty. It's part of who we're built to be, even if we do prefer the idea of form, but or function here. So let's go to the next slide here. There's a really interesting concept, though, that I want to talk about for a minute when we're thinking about form and function. So this came from a couple that I was counseling, and it really struck me that it's not quite so clear a distinction as we often think. And yet it is at the root of a lot of our arguments, like with the whole nail thing we talked about, like, you know, are you listening? Are you validating? Are you creating a nice, comfortable space for me to feel good? Like, is the form right? When we're more fixated on let's solve the functional issue, you got a nail in your forehead, not a great time. Like, but there's a way that form actually can add function. So this is an example from my counseling. I had a couple. And the husband was a contractor. Anybody here do the contracting side of things or like to work with your hands? Pretty, yep, good, awesome work. So, like, if you're like a lot of contractors, you're really good at working on other people's projects, and you'd never have time to work on your own house. Is that accurate for you guys? So, in this case, the couple had purchased a house that was really functional, like solid bones, great foundation, good structure. The roof worked amazingly, and yet the roof was a hideous shade of blue, like clashed entirely with the house, the siding. And when they purchased the house, they had made the agreement. She had said, I'll buy this, but I want that roof a different color as soon as humanly possible. And he said, sure, of course. Well, as you would probably understand what happened, things got busy. function of other people's problems became more important. And every time that she'd bring it up, he'd say, well, you know, I'll get to it. But it is keeping the rain out. Like, it is keeping us safe and warm and dry, right? He was thinking more in terms of it's doing its functional job. I don't see why it needs to be such a big deal that the form is not great. But then she said something I thought was very neat. She's like, well, you know, I would like to invite our small group at church over. I would like to be able to host families who are traveling into the area for ministry and stuff. And it doesn't actually feel very inviting. It doesn't look very, very nice and appealing. And to me, I was like, wait a second. Okay, so in her mind, the form element actually adds a functional element to it. If it appeals to people from the outside, it might actually welcome them, feel warm and draw them in. Anybody here ever go away and stay at a hotel or an Airbnb? Right? You're doing it right now, kind of, right? Would you pretty much just choose whatever one's the cheapest and never look at the pictures on the website? Or do you look and see, is this a hole in the wall? Or is this actually clean? Is there, you know, dirty socks and laundry everywhere in the pictures? Or did they do a nice job making it look good, right? Like, if a place is kept neat and clean, it adds an element of desirability to it. It feels safer. It feels more comfortable. And so just getting that idea in there that maybe the form element can add functionality to it. I want you to think for a minute here. I want to pick your brains. Any other examples in your situation where you can think of where the form adds some kind of functionality? Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's a good point. Yeah. 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 And sometimes, like, if you buy something that's plastic instead of metal, like, it looks nice when it's done, you know, all fancy up there. Like, the phones that they put out these days have some good examples, right? Like, the cheaper models have they look okay, but they're like the cheaper metals. But the fancier models have the sturdier metals, and they look nicer, and they're beveled, and they last longer. So that's a good example. Any other thoughts on a situation where form adds functionality? Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In fact, babies can only see, at least initially, certain color patterns. And so, like, a lot of times you'll see black and white checks next to each other or stripes next to each other for baby toys because it helps their eyesight develop. It's an appearance thing, but it also has a really nice function. So, great example. Any other thoughts? Sure.
Mm. They look at that as a
liability. Sure. So they're looking at the way it appears, and is it the newer model? Is it shinier and fancier? That may mean, okay, it's newer. They're up to date on what they need. Yeah. Any other good ones before we keep going here? That's a great example. So the point is, like, we think in terms of basic functionality a lot of times. Is this doing its job? Is it meeting its needs? But there's a lot of times where adding form can really help. Thinking biblically about, like, hospitality, like we said with the whole staying in a place, like, you would really be sitting out there looking for potential guests, like we read about biblical stories where they're sitting in the gate and they're like, oh, you're a traveler, or you're a Jewish person traveling to my town. Please let me welcome you and let me give you a nice bed, a nice comfortable space. Like, the form element, the warmth, the comfort, the invitation to it just really adds this level of community to it, or camaraderie to it. So I want to point out with that, you know, whether you're choosing the right paint color or the right decor for the house, like, anybody here where you ever, like, you know, you were single and you had your own apartment and then you got married and your spouse brought their touch of decor. Anybody know what that's about? How about, like, maybe it was the opposite, where they brought that hideous thing that they wanted hanging on the wall, and you're like, mm-mm. Right? So, like, at least for me, in my case, I kept a decent looking house, but then when I got married and my wife came in, it was suddenly like livable. It was like there were throw pillows and blankets, and it was comfortable, and like I was like, oh yeah, okay, I can chill in this place. Or I'm a fan of like the dark cave vibes, like, you know, darker colors, and like I want to be in a man cave all the time. My wife likes the white and the light and the open and the windows. And as much as it's not my favorite, I'm like, you know what? This is actually like being outside in a comfortable open area space. I feel less closed in, more open and free. So like the form really does change a lot of the function of a space, and of a lot of different things too. So one of the examples that I want to point out about form is that it is connective. Like we said, it appeals to toy. If you have a toy, the kid wants to play with it. If it's nicer and shinier, if the vehicle looks newer and looks more professional and more kept up, they're, you know, you're going to probably get a better chance of having business there. Like the form element draws people into our places of business, or makes people want to choose us over another option, right? Think about flavor. Have you ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine? If you haven't, it's a silly show, but Captain Holt is the epitome of a guy who likes function. And if you see in his hand, he has something called a nutrition brick, and it's the original no flavor or whole wheat no flavor. The point of it is literally just to get nutrition into your body, like dinner that you made there. Like, none of us usually would go for the no flavor nutrition brick option. We're always like, do I want the cheesy jalapeno one, or do I want the sugar cinnamon one? Like, I want some flavor, and that flavor element is going to determine where I go. For example, how many of you guys are, let's say, I don't know, do you guys have like Chipotle in your area? Anybody have a Chipotle? Or how about, are you more of like a Moe's or a Pancheros person? Like, any, you have all of them, it doesn't matter which? Or does anybody have a strong preference based on the flavor profile of each place? I mean, they're all good, but I'm a Chipotle man myself. It just feels fresher or something like that. But I could get the same basic ingredients anywhere. It's just the form that they presented it in, the flavor, which is part of that sensory form experience, really connects me and draws me to that particular place. Or consider, for example, in the way of a relationship. We were talking a minute ago with the other guys about some really, really good communication tips. What about the tone of your voice? Have you ever considered how that adds a totally new layer of function to the communication, right? If we were just trying to get to the function of communication, we would speak monotone and just share facts, right? But we're actually rising and falling. We're sometimes getting angry or deep. Sometimes we're calming and keeping it low. Maybe our facial expression, again, a form thing, but a thing that communicates very powerfully. So like there's a lot of functionality added when we consider the form in which we're doing what we're doing here. And this is part of God's design. It is not by accident. So God obviously is pretty big on the whole form and function thing. He likes to have both of these in hand. As far as his function, like, he's the perfect engineer. He sets our universe in motion, establishes laws and boundaries. How many passages do we talk about, like Proverbs 8:29, where he assigns the limit to the seas so the waters don't transgress his command? Like, we know that God has this functional planet working in a certain way, all the systems that keep us alive. Science keeps demonstrating new ways in which we are being kept alive by simply the power of God. Like, we can't even comprehend how atomic forces work. Like, there's some neat stuff that if you're into that, we can talk about later. But like, there's so much going on that God is doing to keep this universe functioning. And yet at the same time, we also know that he values form and the connection that it brings. Think of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Like, take a look at the sky at any time, and you'll notice that God's not just interested in making a system in the universe that works, but a system that actually is beautiful. Did you know if you spend time out in nature, just the experience of being out in nature, the colors, the vibration, as it were, that they're actually like, it's fun, it's fascinating the way that your brain vibrates and waves. It lines up perfectly when nature's around, so you can actually calm down and experience a different internal world when you're outside in a beautiful green and brown with a blue sky with a sunlight environment. Like, God has designed the form to have a really, really functional element. So think about Song of Solomon biblically, right? Are they just talking about the function of each other, or are they really praising the form of each other's bodies, right? Like, we have chapters in there where they're just going on and on about the form. So it clearly matters to God. He is clearly a master artist and a master engineer. Now, why am I talking about this at a marriage conference here? Because I feel like this has a supremely important impact on our relationship world. First off, I'm going to bring up the idea of objectification. So just put that guy up there. Has anybody ever heard the whole I and it versus I and thou separation? Does anybody know what that means before? All right, somebody want to shout out what their understanding of that looks like real quick? I saw a hand somewhere. Or no. You can be brave. I versus it. Any idea what that might mean? I and it, I should say. So the idea here, this is by a Jewish philosopher and writer, Martin Buber. He discusses the idea of how we relate to others. And the most obvious example of that usually is with our spouses or sometimes with our children. It is one of the two primary ways, and I, thou is the other. In I, it, many of us, whether we realize it or not, view our partner or the other person as an object. This means we're looking to them to fulfill a certain purpose or role, or to meet a need, maybe to satisfy a desire, the same way that a certain vehicle or a new technology piece or a piece of food might satisfy a particular need. Like, we're relating to our partners or other people in terms of, are they functioning the way that I want them to function? Are they doing the thing that I had, you know, asked them to do or that I signed them up to do? In other words, we establish there's a function in my life that needs to be performed, and I'm going to rate somebody based on how well they perform it. Maybe before we get married, we're thinking about that with our dating partners, right? Are they able to meet these needs the way that I need them to? Maybe not. Okay, next one. And in the marriage, we often have that at the core of so many of our arguments. Like, you're not doing this the way that I wanted you to or expected you to or needed you to. Can you just do it like I want? They can be the core of those kind of really frustrating arguments. Does anybody know, now that I kind of explained that, what that feels like? Have you ever been in an argument where either your partner or somebody else said to you, you know, you're not doing this the right way. I need you to do this better. Anybody? Yeah, I see. You know, it's really, really uncomfortable, but thank you for being honest and raising your hand there. Yeah, this is something that we do accidentally see. We think about objectification and we think only like, oh, you know, sexuality, like looking at people as sexual objects. Nope. Objectification is, I'm going to treat somebody as an object or a tool to be used in my life in the way that I want. I and thou, on the other hand, is Martin Buber's way of saying looking at other people as people. Instead, like, we're called to recognize God has designed every person in his image as just that, a meaningful person with purpose designed by God, filled with hopes, dreams, hurts, joys, talents, desires, etc. Like, we're not working with, you know, an employee who we hired to do a specific task. And even if we are, we're still working with a person. We're interacting with another human who has a different set of values sometimes or a different set of needs. And we are called, what, to love others, not to use them as tools or objects for our satisfaction, right? Biblically, even sexual intercourse exists in the context of knowing our partner, right? He knew his wife. Like, the idea is that it's not just using for the purpose of pleasure or pregnancy or anything like that. It's a knowing, a deeply connecting of two humans. And it's certainly not in the context of using them for satisfaction. Objects have a purpose. They fulfill a function. But persons Persons are learned. Persons are gotten to know. Persons are intimately invested in, experienced, loved, valued, and cherished. So, the question here is, you know, as we think about this in marriage, where do we need to remember the form element, not just the function element? To me, has anybody here, and again, if you want to be brave and raise your hand, you can. If not, you don't have to. But anybody here ever decided, you know, maybe marriage counseling would be a good idea? You don't have to, but if you want to, yep, yeah. So many people. It is, I mean, I see mostly married couples and or premarital couples. Like, I do a whole lot of marriage counseling. And man, the sooner you guys can agree to do it, like, just take this as a tip. If any of you have a partner and your partner says, maybe we could use some counseling, just go ahead and say, yep, okay, let's do it. Like, the sooner you do that, it's so much better at negotiating and preempting the needs and being able to actually get to the core of these things. But anyway, much of the time, we go to marriage counseling or we talk about it, and it's kind of a blindsiding thing for the person who wasn't the one initiating it. Anybody ever felt that way? Like, I didn't realize it was as bad as all that. One of the big reasons is because many of us are fixed on the functional elements of our marriage. Like, is it doing its job? Are the kids alive? Are they eating? You know, do we have food on the table? Is there a roof over our heads? Have we occasionally been able to have a meaningful conversation or a date night with our spouse? Do we have sex once in a while? Like, are the basic essential functions of marriage being met? And for many of us, that's like, okay, if all I'm worried about is the functional elements, then we are rocking it. But for a lot of people, that's the bare minimum. Like, that's the function. There's no form. There's no connection. There's no real warmth. There's no depth of knowledge. There's no, like, getting to know me and asking about me and wanting to deepen our connection. It's more just about keeping us above a certain threshold. How many of you, be honest, if you're willing, have ever been like, in your marriage, you know what? I kind of was hoping this would get a little bit deeper, or that we'd feel a little closer, that we would be able to actually be known and be heard and be understood by our partner, right? We have that desire built into us, and yet life is busy. Life is pretty messy sometimes. So, like, so many different things can get in the way of that, and then we can settle for the functional element. I am going to go ahead and challenge you guys, and we're going to talk a minute here about some of the ways to do that, but I'm going to challenge you guys not to settle for function. Okay? So when I'm talking about form here in marriage, I'm talking about, does this feel connected? Does this look beautiful? Is this something I yearn for, want, desire? Is it something that I would, you know, like, really be proud of if I were to say, yeah, this is what I've built together here? It doesn't just function. It's got good bones, but you know what? It actually looks welcoming to others. It actually represents love and Christ very well to the outside world in a form way. Think about it for a minute. Again, I know it's a little bit of a abstract concept of form, but if your marriage were to have a little bit better form that could therefore introduce better function, what are some of the ways you would like to see your marriage look or feel or connect better? Give me some examples of some possible ways the form of your marriage could improve. Or marriage in general, if you don't want to say, this is my marriage, you can just say marriage in general would be better if that's whatever. Thoughts? Sure. What would that mean to you? Because I think that means different things to different people, and it scares some people when you say deeper conversation. What would a deeper conversation feel like from your perspective?
I mean, not just like, how was your day? Good. How was your day? Here's dinner.
Yeah.
It's like a little more like
how feelings, like, post. Sure. I like how you said it that way, because sometimes when anybody here ever said that to their partner, I wish our conversations were a little deeper, a little less shallow. A lot of times people are like, deeper, like, What, do you want me to get like a degree in theology and we'll discuss like, you know, divine predestination over dinner? Like, that doesn't have to mean deeper. Although some of you might like that. That might be really cool. But what we're looking for is more than just the functional basic. Did you survive your day? Are you going to work tomorrow so that we can continue to pay the bills? Would you like some sustenance? Great. I'll see you later. I'm going to check out and read the newspaper or watch my show or, you know, I'll check in with you right before bed. Like, deeper doesn't necessarily mean it has to be deeply intellectual. It could simply mean a closer connection, a more intimate connection. Got an example there? Yeah, it's a great example. Like, what did you enjoy about today? Like, that helps us not only to make them, like, you know, think about their day and know that they're interested in, but it helps us learn what they like so we can create that for them down the road, right? Oh, she liked it when her coworker brought a box of donuts and they only had bear claws and she loved a bear claw. Okay, I know what I need for Valentine's Day, bear claws, right? That helps us too, for sure. How about some other examples of ways that we can think about the relationship, not just as the function, but as the deeper levels of form, the more enjoyable, beautiful, connective form elements? Being your spouse's greatest cheerleader. I think you guys had a nice challenge on that last night, something like that, right? What did they have you guys do with the whole being kind or saying nice words, something like that? Tell them how awesome they are. Yeah. Like, being your spouse's greatest cheerleader, it's. I've heard some people, and I always get sad when I hear it, they're like, well, why should I celebrate you going to work? That's expected of you as a human. Or why should I thank you for doing the dishes? The dishes need to be done. I mean, yes, that's a very functional way to look at it, but if I knew that I was going to get celebrated and cheered on for the things that I was doing and encouraged and said, you know, I'm proud of you, thank you for that, it goes a long way. One more example of some way that we could maybe enhance function or form. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the word listening there, I'm going to use the word like actually attending to. Like, I'm not just sitting here letting your thoughts come in one ear and out the other. I am writing those thoughts down in my mind, and I am maybe responding in appropriate ways, like, wow, okay, yeah, that was tough, like the validation video. Or maybe I'm saying, okay, well, since you've expressed this need, I'm going to try to commit to meeting that need. Like, I'm not just hearing it. What's something that stands in the way of attending to somebody? Anybody know? Right? I'm a fan of technology, but there's a place and time for it. And when I'm trying to have a conversation with somebody that I love, that's not the time and place for it. So, like, attending by putting down distractions, these build, like, you can have a functional marriage and have your phones in front of your face the whole time or your screen, but you can't really have a form marriage if that's separating you guys from real human connection. Really good examples. Any other ones before? I don't want to silence anyone if there's... I love that. Yeah. Right. Yep. You made the time, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the form element, the connection, enrichment's a great word for it. So that piece, the cutting out quality time, is a huge part of love languages, right? Anybody here like the love languages, right? That's one of them. How many people here, quality time is one of the top two languages in your life? Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, too, that it's not something that can just happen, because if we just kind of leave it to chance, like, let's hang out this weekend. Okay, sure. But we never set a time, never cut out the space, never get a babysitter, never do what's necessary, then it's so easy to let life and the functional elements of carrying on a household overwhelm the connection elements there. So a huge, huge, huge piece there is the quality time. Like, I want you to kind of think of it this way. If what you're thinking of in terms of your household functioning is something that roommates could probably get by on, then it probably is just functional. if roommates, you know, could do it, you're more focused on function. A marriage is designed by God to be this extremely intentional connection piece. And intentionality is the word I really want to sit on for a minute here. Intentionality. What does that mean to you guys? What's the word intentional mean? With effort, with purpose, by choice. Yes. Yeah. Planned. Yes. Something that I have considered and I have intentionally designed a plan around it. Now, if you're like me, most of you are humans, and therefore your brains don't like intentionality because that requires work and effort and energy. Your brains are looking for what we call automatic thoughts. They're looking for things I can plug in to a formula so I know how the week or the day are going to go. Intentionality is the opposite of automatic. Automatic does not require thought. I built the plan, now it's sticking in there, and I can just let it roll for the rest of my life. Intentionality means every day I approach with my full focus or as much of it as I can get. It's like, why did I make this choice? Well, I thought it through, and I actually wanted to do it. Why did I marry you and not somebody else? Well, I thought it through, and I really, you know, valued what I saw there. Reminding our partners of those things, like the thought process that's going behind it, and actually choosing to use that to plan a date night or to sit and intentionally listen with attending. Like, it's very, very important that we recognize areas where we're likely to have automatic thoughts. So anybody here want to be brave and share some places where automated thinking kind of comes into your space and kind of maybe just you get home, you put your feet up, you watch your show, you go to bed, like you don't actually intentionally create space time with your kid or with your wife. Anybody want to share an area where that's a struggle for them? You don't have to, but if you got one, I'm happy to hear it. Well, the one I just mentioned is one that my wife and I are trying to work on ways to get around. Like, I come home from work later, and so we have dinner, and then we watch a show like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or whatever, and then we're like, okay, well, I guess it's bedtime. Not like, hey, let's talk, let's listen, let's actually do something fun. You want to play Scrabble? You want to, like, actually, like, get out the calendar and plan a fun vacation or a trip? Like, nope, we're just going to lock into our relaxing routine. Intentionality is breaking those habits, breaking those routines. So what I want you to think about with this, and this is kind of like my last main point to think about the difference between a functioning relationship and one that has form. Consider the fact that God himself compares the relationship between Christ and his people, the church, as a marriage. The examples we have, especially of the disciples in the New Testament and the writers of all the books in the New Testament, are they like just, you know, barely surviving or meeting the threshold of having faith? Or are they like taking it a couple notches above that? What do you think? Yeah, they're pretty gung-ho for this, right? They're like dying for their faith. They are going to prison. They are being tortured and flogged and beaten because they are so passionate about this relationship with God that they can't just survive and say, okay, well, let's just meet every week, once a week, and we'll just, you know, call it a day. Now, they're like going to places. When was the last time you traveled on foot from one place to another? And yet, you know, Paul walks all around going and doing missionary journeys. Yeah, he takes a boat sometimes, sorry, you know, but still, he's mostly walking. And sometimes he has a chance to take a boat, and he's like, no, you guys go on ahead, I'll meet you there, I'm going to walk. Like, he is making a strong above and beyond effort to make his relationship with God not just something that's a functional meeting a need part of his life, but it's the actual form, like the connective element. It's what he's living for. It's how he's demonstrating his life. We are built for so much more than just the basic function. If we're willing to be intentional and let Jesus lead us in this, we can create relationships with each other that are intentional and that aren't just rote basic repetition, but that actually value our partners as persons, not objects to meet a need. And in that space, I'm going to kind of suggest two steps to take here, and then we'll try to wrap this up with some prayer here in a moment and get you guys on your way to lunch. I know lunchtime is approaching, and I can already see the glazed looks forming of thinking about whatever is coming next. I appreciate you giving me so much of your time already. But if we're going to really build form into our relationships and not just functional levels, the first thing is you're going to have to ask God to help you look at that marriage that you have with the same drive that you would have for an area of your life where form is important to you. So think about it the way you thought about dating, right? You know, you pursued your partner, you complimented them, you celebrated them, you made time for them no matter what. Or think about something in your life right now. If something has become more important than your partner, what's something that you do dedicate all of your time and energy to? Is it work? Is it hunting? Is it, you know, your group, your girls group, your dudes, whatever it is? Like, if there's some area in your life that you actually are dedicated in diving in and your marriage is not one of those areas, that's something that God can help us with. And we need to actually take the initiative to say, I'm more excited for this coming tournament than I am to go home to my wife every night. Or I'm more excited for this upcoming, whatever, trip, book club thing than I am about my life with my wife, with my husband. This is something that God can help us to redirect our efforts and energies to. Secondly, as I said, shifting away from automatic maintenance to living an intentional, thoughtful, decision-making pursuit, especially when you're pursuing God and when you're pursuing your spouse. Anybody here, I've hit this place where my relationship with God is mostly just like, okay, I got up, I read my Bible, and I said, thank you, Lord, and now I'm going about my day. Like, that's okay. It's not a bad place. It's keeping me at that functional level as a Christian getting into the Word, but man, when I listen to an audiobook on the drive to work, or when I pause, you know, at the end of the day and say, God, thanks for this really good work day. I'm gonna leave my work at home, but I need you to go with me. Like, it changes things when I interact with him intentionally, regularly throughout the day. And the same thing's true with my wife. If we just say, okay, see you later, come home later, and interact like just like that, yeah, the relationship's fine. But you know, it's a lot nicer when I send her a sweet text reminding her, hey, I can't wait to see you later. Or, hey, what would you like to do for dinner tonight? Like, I'd love to pick something up for us. Like, my intentionality, my thoughtfulness to see her not just as the person staying, you know, at home right now doing some cleaning, or the person going off and earning the money. Like, they're doing their function and we're going to come home and we're going to just function. But to really emphasize the personhood of our spouses and to see them as that meaningful, deep person with meaning and intentionality and purpose, that's the challenge I'm going to lay out before you guys. Does that make sense? Capiche? Thanks for trying your best to stick with me and stay awake for this. I know it kind of seems a little bit like it's just a basic kind of thing, but I want to also point out here, if you're struggling with this or with anything else, organizations like mine are here to really help emphasize the form and the connection in your marriage. Foundations Christian Counseling, we have offices throughout PA into New York, and it's for other states too. We're getting into Vermont, Florida, all sorts of stuff. And as I said, I'm going to be here in the afternoon. If you'd like to sign up for consultations up in the fourth floor, there's a few spots I think still open. But yeah, if you guys are at a place where like, yeah, our marriage is functional, but it's really lacking in the depth and the connection and the form that God has designed for it, please reach out, give us a call, shoot us an email, visit our website. We would love to get you in and just to be able to be a space to talk about it, a way to honor God and honor each other. Okay? Amen. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for designing us the way you have, for giving us a sense of functionality, of knowing that we have a purpose, but also a sense of form, knowing that that purpose is a beautiful thing that you have designed us for. We pray that as we try to apply this to our marriages, you would help us not to see our partner as that functional object that we've kind of expected them to be, but as that beautiful son or daughter of yours who reflects your image and who has hopes, needs, dreams in you. Father, help us not to let automatic thinking and automatic behavior derail us into a stagnant space, but help us to be intentional and thoughtful with the words we say, with the choices that we make, and to really be able to see our partners as you see them, Lord. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.